Our first reading is from Acts 11, verses 1 through 18. Hear God's word. The news traveled fast, and in no time the leaders and friends back in Jerusalem heard about it, heard that the non-Jewish outsiders were now in. When Peter got back to Jerusalem, some of his old associates, concerned about circumcision, called him on the carpet. "What do you think you're doing, rubbing shoulders with that crowd, eating what is prohibited and ruining our good name?" So Peter, starting from the beginning, laid it out for them step by step. "Recently I was in the town of Joppa praying. I fell into a trance and I saw a vision. Something like a huge blanket lowered by ropes at its four corners came down out of heaven and settled on the ground in front of me. And milling around on the blanket were farm animals, wild animals, reptiles, birds, you name it. It was there. And fascinated, I took it all in. And then I heard a voice. 'Go to it, Peter. Kill and eat.' And I said, 'Oh no, master, I've never so much as tasted food that wasn't kosher.' And the voice spoke again. 'God says it's okay, it's okay.' Now, this happened three times. And then the blanket was pulled back up into the sky. And just then, three men showed up at the house where I was staying, sent from Caesarea to get me. And the Spirit told me to go with them, no questions asked. So I went with them, I and six friends, to the man who had sent for me. And he told us how he had seen an angel right in his own house, real as his next door neighbor, saying, 'Send to Joppa and get Simon, the one they call Peter. He'll tell you something that will save your life, and in fact, you and everyone you care for.' So I started in talking, and before I'd spoken half a dozen sentences, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he did on us that first time. I remember Jesus' words, 'John baptized with water, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So I ask you, if God gave the same exact gift to them as to us when we believed in the Master Jesus Christ, how could I object to God?" And hearing it all laid out like that, they quieted down. And then as it sank in, they started praising God. It's really happened. God has broken through to the other nations and opened them up to life." And then our second reading from John 13. "Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other." May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. When I was growing up out in California and a kid, I've shared with you that my family had this resort up in the hills, a hot springs resort. And one of the fondest memories that I have of this time was that we would draw people from all over the area. And among them, there were those from the Army Language School over in Monterey. People from all these different countries who were there teaching all the different language. And so we would have folks from Russia, what they referred to as white Russians at the time, those who had escaped from Russia and from all the difficulties there. We would have people from Germany, we would just from all over. And I remember being totally fascinated by the differences in the cultures and by the language and hearing them speak. And as there was time, they would teach me bits and pieces of these languages. So though I've forgotten it, I learned a little Russian at that time. And I learned some German, and I learned, you know, just this wide variety of things. And it was so exciting and amazing to feel like we were in this place that brought people together from all around the world. And it actually gave me a love for languages, so that later on, then when I had the opportunity, I learned Spanish and I've learned French, and of course, which I've also forgotten. And then a seminary went on to learn Greek and Hebrew, which I've also forgotten. So I've forgotten a lot of languages, learned a lot, forgotten a lot. But the one thing that I haven't forgotten is the beauty of every single culture. And one of the things that I absolutely love now about where we go to the gym is, again, we have folks from all these different countries who are there. And any given day, you can hear different languages continually. You hear from China, you hear from Japan and Korea, you hear from Germany, you hear from India, and you see these smiling faces, you see these families, and all of us together wanting the same thing. Wanting to be loved, wanting to be in a good, safe place, wanting to provide for our families. And so, as you hear me say on many occasions, it makes me so sad as I see the way the culture can manipulate things, continually trying to make us fearful, continually trying to build walls between us that were never, ever intended. Now, in this passage from John, where he's talking about loving each other, one of the things that we sometimes overlook is he's telling us not just to love each other as we love ourselves, which we also find in the passage, but that we are to love as Jesus loved. Now take that in for just a minute. We are called not just to love each other as we love ourselves, but we're called to love as Jesus loved. How did he love? How did he love that is different from often our human love? For one thing, he loved unconditionally. And we hear that. We hear that in the passage from Acts. We hear how Peter is amazed. I mean, he had grown up in this very rigid tradition that you do certain things and you don't do certain things. And it was part of being the tribe. And all of a sudden, they're being told that, no, this is a new time. A time when we are all to see each other as members of the same family. And that means that we are to remove all those things that may be part of traditions, are harmless enough in and of themselves, but that are getting in the way of our caring for each other, that are putting unnecessary walls between us. And so, the first thing, we've got to remember that love is meant to be unconditional. I'm to love you even if you drive me crazy. I'm not supposed to sit here with a book of rules and saying, okay, I'll love you, but you better do this, this, and this. Jesus didn't do that. Now, granted, he was teaching things, but the reason that he was teaching us those things was for our own joy and to help us to live life more fully, and to remove from our lives those things that cause us suffering. And speaking of suffering, Ken Duncan shares a story that is not an easy one to hear. Those of us who grew up during the time of Vietnam, who lost friends, who served there, that was a difficult time. He shares about a gentleman by the name of Bill Farrow who had served. And back in 1977, his aunt approached him about housing a family of Vietnamese refugees. Now, if you've been through that, folks, if you've been over there in that war zone, probably the last thing you want to do is to welcome into your home somebody who is considered to be the enemy. And she thought that she'd arranged the perfect situation because he was a bachelor, he lived alone, he was in this very huge, spacious farmhouse, he had lots of room. Having been a veteran, he knew about the culture, he knew about the place, he'd been there. And And she thought he might welcome having a little bit of help around the farm, especially since he was handicapped. He actually lost both his legs. So how he could even do anything on that farm was just pretty amazing. What she didn't know was all the emotions that such a request would bring up, because he was angry. He was still incredibly angry from that time, which is totally understandable. He's very bitter. And over the years, he had developed such a deep hatred for Vietnam and the people over there. And so, not surprisingly, his first reaction was, no way, forget it. No way he was going to do that. But then as he thought about it, there was this deliciously evil idea that came into his mind. He thought, okay, why don't I go ahead and bring them in and I make them suffer the way they made me suffer? So he went ahead, he agreed to Aunt Rose's request, and a week later, the San Phi family, mother, father, four kids, they moved in. His plan went into action the first day. He started ordering them around more like slaves than like guests. He set them to work with grueling farm work, and he was very careful. There was not one kind word that passed his lips, and he was just as nasty and mean as he could be. He was going to pay them back for his experience. And the weird thing was that no matter how mean he was to them, and no matter how abusive, they still treated him with kindness and respect. How weird is that? And with gratitude. And they did every task with cheerfulness, with efficiency, and on top of that, sometimes they would even do more than what he was asking them to do. How insane is that, right? So eventually, they transformed his farm into the cleanest, best organized farm in the area. And then they went on and they were able to gather with other relatives out in California. So they moved, and then another family was brought in to live there. So he did the same thing. And then eventually they moved as well. And each time they returned all of his hatred, all of his anger with kindness. It was just so incredibly weird. And then another family moved in, the Chows. And one evening, Mr. Chow mentioned to Bill that the other refugees' families had told them all about him. And Bill was absolutely sure that they had said really bad things. But he insisted they had actually liked him. They had been concerned, though, with his anger. And Mr. Chow said, they don't know why you don't enjoy life. How weird is that, right? His anger, they had seen this very unhappy, suffering man who could not enjoy his life. And they heard for him. Well, the final incident that kind of changed his attitude was a couple years later in 79. He had, for a long time, totally ignored his birthday, and that year, it was a little hard to do because he got this huge stack of cards and personal notes from all these people, all these families who had lived with them. And as he read the homemade cards filled with words of love and gratitude, he actually began to cry. And all that anger and all that hatred just kind of melted. His farmhouse had been a temporary home for over 40 Vietnamese men, women, and kids. And through them, Bill had learned about the extreme poverty, the lack of medical care available in Vietnam. He then decided to make it his personal mission to visit a medical supply company and others and see if he could get some donations sent over to those in need. And he even flew back to Vietnam a few times to distribute the supplies personally. And somehow his hatred through these families was transformed to love. That may seem hard to imagine, but I've seen it over and over and over And even hearing stories of my great Aunt Jeanette and Uncle Albert, who were missionaries in Thailand for many years. During the war, they ended up in a Japanese internment camp, along with the other folks from Thailand. They had an opportunity to be released, and they chose to stay. That may sound weird, but what they saw was people in need of love. Not just those from Thailand who were held as captive, but those who were keeping them captive. I have seen over and over in my life how love wins. Love transforms. And not just others, but it transforms us. There is no way that we can love without it changing us. And love sets us free. Right now in this world, so filled with chaos and with hate, with so many angry and not saying that the anger is not justified, but anger doesn't win. Anger just continues to perpetuate anger and continues to cause destruction. Fosters more pain, more suffering. It never ends unless we say no, unless we choose to love instead. Jesus calls us to love as he did. And his love, as we know, was unconditional. Jesus faced rejection and crucifixion. He had every reason, more than any of us, to be angry. Didn't he? His response, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." That's the kind of love he calls us to. Sounds impossible, right? But if you really want to be free, if you really want to live a life of joy, I invite you to try it. It will transform you as much as it transforms others. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are reminded today that we are not simply to love other people as we love ourselves, but we are to love them as Jesus loves us, whether undeserving or not. Help us to open our hearts, Lord, to that. Help us to free ourselves from bitterness and anger and frustration and to respond with the love of Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.